Welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am chatting with David Erfle. He is the junior minor junkie. And David, as we've been talking off mic, I wanted to address a comment that you made to me that is actually quite bullish for the sector. I was saying that, you know what, I was still seeing a lot of these stocks underperform, but you brought up a couple stocks to me that have been doing better. And you made a comment that said, you know what, GDXJ and silver are actually leading this sector, and that's always a good sign. Can you please elaborate on that first?
Yeah, sure. First of all, I'd like to kind of apologize. I got a cold here, so I might cough every once in a while. But yeah, the silver shares and the silver juniors, the SILJ and the GDXJ are leading here. And that's a bullish sign. And when you had the bottom on Fed Day, you had most of the silver shares were up over 10%. And when you see silver lead like that, it's usually very bullish for the near term. And also the XAU is also leading, and that's very bullish as well. And I'm just very optimistic. I see a lot of white candles and a lot of shares that I follow. I was, as we talked about last week, I saw a lot of shares that were acting sold out. And that turned out to be the case because a lot of those have had nice moves now. And I'm very optimistic here. It looks really good going into the new year.
So, David, what is your outlook for maybe how long this run will last? If you are optimistic and you're seeing the signs of at least the more positive moves coming for the precious metals, is this a long-term play or is this just a bump for maybe a month or two?
Well, I think... it's a very good chance that 21 on the GDX is going to hold, and it remains to be seen, obviously. But going into January, into the end of January, I think we're going to have some strong moves in a lot of these shares, and it usually happens like that because you had a lot of people selling for tax loss, and some of them they come back and they buy the same shares back because they can buy them back a month later and still take the tax loss. So you see in a lot of these quality companies that were really hammered. And those are the ones that are starting to have nice moves first. So it's still a stock picker's market. You know, you still can't just throw a dart at a junior and make money anymore. It's still a stock picker's market. You still got to do your due diligence, and you still got to make sure the company is fundamentally sound and they have a lot of cash. And they have nice properties. I mean, it's still a stock picker's market.
So, David, are you also, when you're looking at stocks right now, looking at companies that currently have a drill program underway? Because there are certain companies that, you know what, have to go, for the most part, dark during this time of the year simply because they can't really get access to their property or the weather conditions just don't warrant it. Do you care right now as to what stage and how active the companies are, even if they are cashed up?
Well, I know what you're referring to, like the seasonal plays that are, like you said, are going dark here. But those are the ones where you're going to get the best value in, because those are the ones that were hit the hardest. So if you're looking to get into some of these higher risk plays that are seasonal, take a look at the valuation. Take a look at how much cash they have. You know, the season's going to start up in May, so you're going to make sure that they have enough cash to do what they need to do. If they're low on cash, you know they're going to be announcing a raise soon. So they're still going to be their share price is still going to be pressured. But as far as drilling is concerned on companies that aren't seasonal, yeah, I mean, a lot of companies, they announce new drill programs at the beginning of the year. And make sure that they're cashed up as well. And, you know, some of them also still have assays coming in because of the backlog in most of the assay labs. So assays are still coming in. So if you have a combination of an up move starting here in the sector and some assays coming in from some of those companies that are dark right now and they're good, they're going to get a really nice pop because they're pretty much sold out.
So again, this is kind of a timing play, right? We usually see this at this time of the year after tax loss selling. Stocks get really washed out, and investors then finally, after kind of cleaning up their portfolio, do start to move back into some of these stocks for a number of different reasons. So this really isn't anything new right now, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, it's like Groundhog Day, you know. It happens every year at this time. And this year was especially tough because you're coming to the end of a year and a half consolidation in the miners after that huge 180% move to start 2016. You had people getting excited, getting into the sector that got in too late. They're giving up. I'm selling for tax loss. I'm done. I'm tired of this sector. I'm frustrated. It all it does is go nowhere while Bitcoin flies and the U.S. stock market keeps flying. And I'm just going to get rid of my miners. I don't care what the fundamentals are. I don't care what the valuation is. I have a loss. I'm selling it, and I'm buying the U.S. equity Santa Claus rally, or I'm buying Bitcoin, or whatever's raging right now. So that is just opportunity. I mean, there was just a big, huge half-off sale on the sector the last few weeks, and I've been taking advantage of it. I purchased my last stock today, so I'm pretty much full up right now because I just couldn't believe all the deals that were brought my way because of tax loss.
Okay, David, there is also another sector that you put out a note to subscribers in that you're taking a position in one of these companies, and that's the uranium sector. There's been a lot of news regarding supply side pullbacks because of the major companies cutting some of their production. Can you take us through maybe why you think now is the right time for a uranium buy and maybe to put some money into the uranium sector?
Yeah, because the oversupply situation is finally being addressed, seriously being addressed. I mean, when you have Cameco shut down the largest uranium mine in the world, which supplies 10% of the uranium to the market, that's huge. And then right after that happens, Kazakhstan announces another 10% cut. So they're going to be cutting 20% in 2018, along with Cameco shutting down that mine in 2018. That's 30% of uranium off the mark of uranium production off the market. This is huge, and this is because this has gone on too long. And you can't have a uranium price of $20, $25 when it costs $35, $40 to produce for very long, and it's gone on long enough. So you see bottoms in a lot of these uranium miners. I mean, the uranium sector is tiny. It's down to like 40 companies left with a total market cap of around $7 billion, and Cameco is more than half that. So you've got a lot of these uranium miners who have hung on, who have weathered the storm. They're really, really, really cheap, but I would not take more than a very small percentage of my portfolio and put it into the sector because, as you know, all it takes is one nuclear accident to happen and the sector will be decimated. I mean, unlike gold and silver, which go up with both greed and fear, the uranium sector gets hammered when there's any kind of nuclear incident. But a small portion of one's portfolio in a really, really good company is a smart move right here to get into. It's the ultimate contrarian play right here because the sector is really, really hated and it finally looks like it's bottomed.
Okay, so I think that's a key note there is that you're not going all in, you're just taking a
No.
bit of your portfolio and putting it into uranium. Because when I talked a couple weeks ago with Joe Mazumdar, he said, you know what, having these major players cut production is actually a sign to him that this market will still be under pressure for a while simply because it costs a lot to cut down production, to close mines, and with a longer term outlook, then they're saying that they're not willing to ride out a production asset with these low prices because they think the prices are going to remain low for a while. How do you balance that commentary with, again, getting a bit of exposure to this sector?
Well, because I believe the stocks will move before this oversupply problem is completely fixed. The market has a way of doing that. And if you buy something that has a lot of cash and that has a really good share structure and has a really good management team, and they're aware of the situation and they're doing all they can to remain solvent, basically, you put a small part of your portfolio in that and just kind of put it in a drawer and forget about it. Don't think about it, because eventually, within the next, you know, between 2018 and 2019, it's gonna really, really move. If it's one of those companies that are solid, that's been around a while and knows how to weather the storm.
So it's kind of one of these plays that you're okay with maybe being a little too early to this party because it has gotten so sold out, and you put some money into one of these companies or a couple of these companies and you just kind of wait, right? Just because it really can't get any worse is your narrative.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, if you look at the URA, which is the ETF for the uranium sector, okay, it debuted in late 2010. It was getting late for the party in the uranium miners at that time. It went up for about 2 months. It hit $134 in late 2010, early 2011, I think it was. And then it proceeded to go down, split adjusted, 98% into the end of, to the beginning of 2016. I mean, that is incredible. And it had two adjusted splits. It had a 1-for-3 and a 1-for-2 between all that. So if you just take a small position in a sector that's that decimated and just forget about it, you know, and just open your drawer a couple years from now and take a look at it and go, wow, okay, this thing has really moved, because I mean, it really can't get any worse in the uranium sector. It really can't.
And that's kind of the takeaway there. And I think a lot of other people are starting to see these opportunities. And you know what? I share your outlook that it's not a bad time to take a position, but just don't expect a major move up coming right away. I've been on record that we need some
exactly.
sort of a demand side driver as well, almost the perfect storm. But at least having the major
right.
companies cut back some of their production is always a good sign. So I guess maybe just overall, you sound encouraged at the end of the year for a year that's been pretty boring.
I do, and I'd like to add one more caveat too. If you look at the company that I purchased is concentrating on U.S. production. Is the U.S. currently imports 94% of the uranium it needs for its nearly 100 reactors. So if you concentrate on a U.S. producer, then that should really serve you well in the long term.
Okay. Well, David, always interesting comments. And again, I thank you for all the work you do with your newsletter. I read over it whenever you send out updates to your subscribers, because it is, again, very stock specific. And that's what I enjoy. So, David, hey, I hope you have a great rest of your week, a great holiday season. And thanks again for taking time to join us.
You too, Corey. Thanks a lot.